You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
To Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Hello, Sebastian. How is your day going?
I've been with you for most of today.
It's true, you have been with me for most of today.
I slept in a little bit, woke up a little bit late, shaved and showered, and you're like, hey, I'm in the neighborhood, I'm going to pick you up.
Yeah, we're 1 minute away, get ready.
And then I bought hot sauce, which is nice.
Yeah. I am not very good at giving advance warning or notice or a heads up to anyway.
Or texting or communicating or giving.
I want to talk to you, Sebastian, about a brand new job.
Oh.
That has come up.
Okay.
And it is the CV... Oh, position.
Okay.
At a major beverage company.
Okay.
Have you heard about the CVO position at this major beverage company?
I'm trying to decode the TLA there. Is it the chief venereal officer?
I mean, I'm not going to say no. It is the chief vibes officer. So this is the news that Troy Sivan, who, let's be honest, is vibes... has just been made the chief vibes officer for Smirnoff. If I said, what do you think Smirnoff has just done? I could have said anything that follows that sentence. Now, our audience can't hear the facial expression that Sebastian is giving me right now.
A chief spokesperson. Like, spokesperson. Why chief vibes officer? This has the stink of somebody's Gen Z nephew that they're giving a chance to in the upper corporate structure, who did a couple years of college and not on a topic that has anything to do with business.
So we've seen a couple of examples of unusual marketing recently.
Oh, yes.
The Jaguar ad.
Oh, God.
The car ad that featured no cars.
Mm-hmm.
Although, to be honest, are they the first car manufacturer ever to make an ad that doesn't feature a car?
You could probably find one somewhere in history.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing you normally associate with alcohol-based commercials who are not allowed to depict...
alcohol.
Well, drinking. They can hold it, but they can't drink it on camera. They sell it as more of a lifestyle. I don't know if you've ever watched Canadian beer commercials from the 90s.
I will say...
they are epic. They are actually very good commercials. But, yeah, not with cars, because there's no ban on showing a vehicle. Like, sometimes they just show, like, you know, the sexy shots where it's all close up and you don't actually get to see it driving anywhere.
Yeah.
You see that, but you always see a car, at least.
I have to say... every car commercial I've seen recently is, you can drive in the woods.
Yeah.
The child is like, where do trees grow? And it's just like barreling over some tundra. I'm like, you know, okay, your car can manage a bit of gravel. I appreciate that.
That commercial's unblockable.
I am not going off-roading anytime soon.
Meanwhile, you get like smart cars, which is like, it's cheap, it's small, it can park anywhere because it's about the size of a bicycle.
But I do want to get back to Troy Sivan. There was an interesting debate happening. That there's a bit of a tweet that's going viral about the SNL writer. So Bowen Yang from, folks may recognize him from SNL or from the new Wicked movie. He has been putting Troy Sivan as a character into... quite a few SNL skits.
Okay.
And people are like, why is Troye Sivan all over SNL. Like,
the actor or other people are...
Like, impersonating. So there was... the most recent one was a skit where Boyang was Charlie XCX, and okay. Charlie XCX was Troye Sivan.
Okay.
So they're in a lot of the skits. But the point being made is that in queer culture, in younger queer culture... Mm-hmm. Troye Sivan is far more present than people realize.
Oh, yes.
And this is part of what I'm thinking. Like, maybe this is one of those occasions where this is maybe not necessarily for you. Or this isn't speaking to you. That Troye Sivan's impact in young, gay, heavy Smirnoff-drinking crowds, which, let's be honest, Sebastian, have you been in a crowd that drinks Smirnoff recently?
I mean, I used to work in a gay bar, and Smirnoff Ice was a top seller.
Yeah, but have you recently been somewhere where someone's doing Smirnoff?
No, but, I mean, I'll stand by Smirnoff Ice as being a top seller, even if most people don't really like Smirnoff on its own. They make a nice mixed drink.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if Troye Sivan being the chief vibes officer, for me, I'm like... Okay, it's a marketing gimmick.
Yeah, no.
Take the money, run, have fun. To be clear,
having him as the spokesperson for Smirnoff is inspired. It's a really good idea. It's just specifically that they coined the term chief vibes officer. I think in 15 years, people are going to look back on this and just cringe at the 2010s-ishness of it. You know, like having, I don't know, Tom Selleck represent... your Gillette razor brand in the 80s. You know, like, there's just something very of the time of it, where it's so of the time, you know it's not going to age well. But having him as the spokesperson, yeah, makes sense. It's just specifically the CVO title that I think is...
Well, it's a multi-year co-branding deal, essentially.
Okay.
So companies have marketing ambassadors left, right, and center. Michael Jordan, you know...
You know what? Lens Crafters never had Elton John as a spokesperson, and they missed out.
They did. I know. Oh my gosh. The money?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Imagine having Elton John glasses, but...
prescription.
Bifocals, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we have had a bit of a recurring segment for the last couple of months on breaking news.
Oh, yes?
Of people who've been dead for a while.
Yes.
We've got ancient people of Pompeii. Mm-hmm. We've done either King Arthur or Merlin. We're fuzzy on which one of these ancient characters we talked about. Mm. But now I've got breaking news, and this individual is very much not dead.
Oh.
Still alive.
Okay.
But someone you may not have expected to be breaking news in 2024, and that is Jussie Smollett.
Oh, God.
So, in 2019, he was convicted of a hate crime attack. The conviction was for faking a hate crime attack against himself.
Yes.
He was sentenced. Essentially, in Illinois, they threw the book at him.
Oh, yes.
For wasting police time.
Yes,
essentially.
Yes. Also, it is a form of community terrorism, because the whole point of hate crime existing as a motivation is that it's not just a crime against the individual. It also inspires fear in the community.
Yeah, and could inspire copycats. It creates a more permissible environment.
Creates a negative environment. Yeah. I've heard a lot of criticisms against hate crimes as a motivating factor in the legal system, but there's also a lot of really good cases for it. And if you fake a hate crime, you're getting all that fallout, all the downstream effects of a hate crime, even though no crime happened. So in this case, basically saying, like, you just created a negative environment of fear in the Chicago area because you wanted clout, like, yeah, throw the book at the guy. Like, he I don't want to say terrorized, because that is a little bit hyperbolic, but, like, you know, he did, like, a two. On the terrorism scale. And I think that that is something worthy of looking at as punishable by the law.
Well,
maybe a three.
What might surprise you, I mean, I'm going to use this metaphor of, you know, throw the book at him.
Yeah.
It seems like the attorney's office, initially, they got the book, they filled it with, I think it was like 27 charges, they prepped the book for throwing distance, and then were like, nah, actually, we're good.
And then instead they gently handed him a pamphlet.
No, then they took the book and they just put it back on the shelf, indexed it, moved on with their lives.
Yeah, okay,
essentially, the original attorneys shelved all the charges against him.
Hmm.
And then it was a special prosecutor that stepped in and charged him with the accounts that he was eventually then convicted of. Minus a couple of ones that he wasn't convicted of, but
right.
he was eventually. So the appeal is resting on that technicality that the attorney at the time said, no, we're not going to, and effectively closed the case. And then this special prosecutor...
Because they just didn't feel like it.
Yeah, the special prosecutor is like, no, no, no. We have an example to make here. Yeah, yeah. We need to throw a book at somebody. I'm going to take this book off you and throw it at them.
Yeah.
And the attorney, the appeals is like, no, no, you can't do that. Well, according to the Illinois Supreme Court, they can't. And his conviction has now been overturned.
Oh.
Yeah, it turns out a special prosecutor can't just go wading in after the fact and go, you know what, I don't think that's right. I'm going to prosecute all of these charges you chose not to prosecute to begin with. It's probably related to the concepts of double jeopardy and things like that.
Yeah, the American legal system is weird. Like, years after the O.J. Simpson trial, the man in question admitted to half of the things he was accused of, but because... he went through a court case where they said not guilty. You cannot reopen that. You have to open a new court case on a separate issue, but they can't because that court case was so all-encompassing. Like, it's so... like, in Canada, like, if you get declared not guilty of a law and they find new evidence later, they just reopen it. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a very different legal system. Like, this Smollett story would not happen here.
It's worth noting that in Cook County, the attorney's office dropped 16 counts of disorderly conduct after Smollett did community service and paid the $10,000 bond.
Okay.
Case closed.
Okay.
No, 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 no. Not according to the special prosecutor.
Yeah.
Who then reopened the case despite... those court, those counts being dismissed after a forfeiture and a bond and community service. Mm-hmm. And then he was eventually convicted of 5 counts of disorderly conduct in 2021. All in all, it's a mess. But I did not expect Jussie Smollett to pop back up on the gay news radar all this time.
I could see him popping up again, but the fact that it's that same case from years ago popping up again, that is alarming.
Yeah.
That it's still active after all this time.
We're going to jump into our first track. This is, we were listening to it a little earlier. This is Jane, My Little Firecracker, by Claire Morrison. And we will be back just after this.
Steel works, food on the table, fathers and their wartime fables, prayed the factory boom would keep us whole. Unwilling, far from us the grind of milling. How could I ignore adventure's call? I would never be the same. We reached to where the bay it narrows. I knew right then that I would make my home. Secrets whispered on the wind, the promise of my one true love. And oh, how the land unfolded on. It doesn't matter now. Peaches, golds, and blues are coldly water. My body's weak and my spirit's stronger. No use in staying here much longer. Use in staying here much longer. Ourselves. Meanwhile, Hazel first, Charles second, brother Larry, he's still living. Long time since I left Ohio now. How could I ever be the same? Gave up my language, my religion. I learned the words to ask them for your hand. For a crowded house where all were welcome, children raised and dresses mended. such a bold heart for the winning. The dance song overhead still spinning. Jane, my little firecracker, you go ahead, I'm coming after. I've always been a little slower, but it doesn't matter now. Peaches, golds, and blues like holy water. My body's weak and my spirit's stronger. No use in staying here much longer. Use in staying here. Oh, Jane, my little firecracker, you go to bed, I'm coming after. The St. Lawrence is all blues and grays like holy water. Like holy water. The girls, they hate to see me suffer.
Queer home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And let's kick off our conversation with how do you feel about some Mpox?
Like in my tea? Like that's a weird way of phrasing
that. That is a weird way of phrasing it. Okay, maybe I should be more clear.
Okay.
Let's start a conversation.
How do I feel about some talking about?
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes way more sense.
Yes.
So we have reported a couple of times about Mpox. It is a... it's not exclusively...
Yeah.
But it is more often than not.
It is a topic that should not be gay.
Yeah.
But it's become... an LGBT talking point. Yeah.
So Mpox is a viral infection, and it is not only shared by sexual contact, but if you're having sexual contact, you're going to be touching each other.
Yeah.
You're going to get it.
Yeah.
But it's not only shared that way. But it is shared that way.
Yeah.
That being said, in the gay community, we were like, oh my God, 5 alarm, you know, fire, it's going to be another HIV situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the queer community reacted very quickly
to
address it. Now, did you know that there are 2 types of Mpox?
There's like 7, but like if you're talking about the ones that are actually making it internationally, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And they have subtypes as well.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm talking about clade 1 and clade 2.
Yeah.
Now, it is extremely unlikely that anyone is going to be like, oh, well, you know, there's, you know, you're not going to have to mention it to your doctor. Canada has had clade 2 Mpox infections. When we reported on it before, we talked about, you know, the, I think it was like a couple of 100 cases across the country at the height. And there's been a small amount here and there, but not very much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Canada Public Health has just stopped updating their big Mpox webpage. They're like, there's no movement.
Mm-hmm.
We're good. There is also then clade 1. Now, clade 1 is more infectious.
Mm-hmm.
The side effects and symptoms, sorry, of the Mpox are more severe, mm-hmm. more likely to put you in a hospital bed, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And is mostly just in Africa at the moment. Now, there has been reports this week of the first case of clade 1 Mpox in Los Angeles. Last week we mentioned, I believe, the cases popping up in the UK and in Europe.
Australia as well.
Australia had 1 or 2 cases. Canada has now reported its first case of clade 1 Mpox.
Oh.
It is somebody who travelled to an infected area.
Okay.
And presumably then became infected.
Well, yeah.
Is in hospital, is taking the precautions necessary. I believe last week we talked about how the mpox vaccine is no longer free in the US, mm-hmm. and that was causing some concerns. If you feel like you are having intimate liaisons mm-hmm. with people you are not familiar with, and there is a potential that maybe they have the mpox, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. talk to your family doctor or a health clinic.
One of the main concerns about that, well, so the I believe we talked about the actual price point last week. It's like $250 or something like that?
In the States, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just that awkward amount where if it were like $40 to $60, people might be like, it's a bit much, but like...
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, it's yeah. fine, you know. I'll just get two bottles fewer of gin this month. Bearing in mind that gin costs half as much in the States. That would be one bottle of gin in Canada if it's $40 to $60. Anyway, doesn't matter. But 200, that's a bit much. And the issue with vaccines is they work by increasing herd immunity. Mm. So the more people who have it, the more effective they are. There are, I think the smallpox vaccine was one of the only vaccines that did essentially give you near immunity. Mm-hmm. There are individuals in the States who've had the vaccine but still caught it. And it, the issue is that if everybody, or at least everybody who's not, immunocompromised to the point where they can't get a vaccine.
Yeah.
It's something like you just need like 70% of the population to be vaccinated, and that cuts the disease off at the knees. So not making it easily distributable and easy to get is potentially going to maybe not make it come back, but give it the space to come back.
Yeah.
So there is concern about that, and the fact that we're seeing this now is kind of worrying.
It is. I mean, I will say that the health professionals in Manitoba responded very quickly. Mm-hmm. It is picking it up. It's an infection they picked up from elsewhere. You know, broadly speaking, I'm sure everything is fine.
Yeah.
You know, no huge risk. But, you know, I know that the local health clinics in Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Ottawa... all of them offer mpox vaccines to those who are most likely to come across it,
yep.
specifically creating that herd immunity in the areas where it may be transmitting.
Yes.
And that's why I said earlier, if you're out there having intimate liaisons with, you know, torso 26, then maybe it's a reasonable measure to take because yep. it's not a fun... disease to have.
Yeah, it's unlikely to kill you. It can, but it's pretty unlikely. But the main thing is that it's just excruciating pain for like 1 to 4 weeks. It is a very painful condition to come down with.
Exactly. All right. I want to talk about emos.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, I want to talk about emo, the town, not the collective subculture.
Yes.
Now, those who may not be familiar, Sebastian, have we mentioned Emo the Town before?
We have had interviews with representatives from Emo. We have, I don't know, we've been talking about Emo for at least 4 years now. It is a small town that gets a whole lot of press from us, that's for sure. I think the only town that's gotten as much press is Hamilton, Ontario. In terms of our reporting.
Well, we mentioned a while ago mm-hmm. That they wanted to make a pride proclamation in 2020.
Yes.
And the mayor at the time and the city council as a whole essentially said, no, we're not making a pride proclamation.
Yeah.
It's just not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was challenged to the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario. And they have found in favor of Borderlands Pride. Mm-hmm. Essentially what happened, I don't know how good your recall is on the proclamation from 2020 that never happened.
Okay.
Essentially, there is three individuals in specific that we are talking about. The mayor of the town of Emo and two of the councillors. They held effectively a majority on the council that made this decision. It was Mayor Harold McQuaker, Councillor Harold Boven, and Councillor Warren Towles. They were a three-member majority on the council board, and they said, no, 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 we're not going to proclaim Pride. Mm-hmm. It's worth mentioning, at the time, a number of people were like, well, you can't just opt out because you don't like the gays.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is discriminating against the gays.
Mm-hmm.
And this may come as a bit of a surprise, but this is settled law. And you're thinking, well, when was this settled? Was it on Tuesday? No, it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
30 years ago. Specifically, London and Hamilton were asked to adopt proclamations,
mm-hmm.
and they refused 30 years ago because they didn't want to support the gays, which is fine. They were taken to court. They lost because they were discriminating based on sexual orientation. Now, it's worth noting that all of 2 years ago, in 2020, the emo councillors, the ones I mentioned earlier, Mayor McQuaker and the other two, were told this.
Yeah.
You can't just say no to a group of gays because they're gay. Yeah. Like, it's not sufficient. It is discrimination. So they knew. They knew in advance that they couldn't discriminate based on sexual orientation. They were told that what they're doing would be discrimination based on sexual orientation. And in a shocking verdict that would surprise a grand total of nobody, the Ontario Human Rights Courts found, are you sitting down? You're in front of me, I can see you. You are sitting down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They found that they did, in fact, discriminate based on sexual orientation. Go ahead.
I remember when this was all happening, there was another small town nearby that also didn't make a proclamation where you or I were like, fair enough. And I don't remember. I don't think
they make any proclamations.
It was like Breakwater or something like that. But I remember that town, basically what they said is, we have a budget shortfall, so we're not going to organize anything. We're not stopping you from organizing anything. If you want to do a Pride, you know, all the power to you. Just we as city council of village name forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, we are not going to do anything, but that's not through lack of effort. It's just through lack of what? Like, just lack of many things right now. We got bigger fish to fry in terms of, like, paving the roads and whatnot. And remember you and I were both like, yeah, I mean, the basic tone of, like, we're not stopping you from doing anything. Like, go ahead. You know, you're free to do it if you'd like. It's just that we, as the city council, we're in the middle of fixing things. And we're like, it's not ideal, but, you know, it's rational.
I mean, if your city council is proclaiming, you know, the Asian Heritage Month.
Yeah.
And then chooses not to proclaim Pride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's one and not the other.
Because I remember this small town name forgot. I really wish I could remember the name. This is the problem with doing this for so long, is that it all smears.
All these small town homophobia blends together after a while.
But it was an homophobia, because it was an issue of they didn't proclaim anything.
Was it a flag raising and they just didn't have a pole? And they'd have to buy a pole. That was one story.
Oh, there's like nine. They'd have to.
They were like,
look,
we've got three flagpoles, municipal, provincial, you know, federal. Yeah. Do you want to buy a flagpole? I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
There's a reasonable way and an unreasonable way to say, we don't have the energy, we don't have the money, we don't have the space, we don't have the time. You know, we're in the middle of other stuff. And also, we don't declare anything at all. We don't even declare Christmas. Like, there are towns that are like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? It's just, it's part of a trend. It's not discrimination. It's just that town doesn't do proclamations. Fair enough.
Or puts things on flags.
Yeah, you know? You want to do your own, like, so long as they're not stopping other people from doing their own
but
thing.
But saying we won't make a proclamation
because
for Pride
yeah,
and
yeah.
just